What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to In Search Of. We're your host, Ashton and Sam. We're two accountants who binge podcasts by day and TV by night. Keep listening to find what you've been in search of.
Hey, Ashton.
Hi, Sam.
What's up?
Long time. I mean, I was about to say long time no see, but I literally talk to you like every day this past week. But podcast wise, this is long time no see.
Yeah, we're back. And we had a hiatus, but we're back.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yeah. Goodbye to 2021. Hello. Yeah. 2022.
Yeah. We're.
Thank God.
Yeah. We're hopefully starting the new year on a better foot than we ended last year.
Yes. Yeah. So we've kind of been out of commission because life and work, I forgot how crazy work gets in January. So we're just drowning in all things accounting, but that's not why you're here. If you are here listening to us, to not hear us talk about accounting.
Yeah. I'm sure the two listeners we have are really waiting for our next
Actually, I think we have like 30. We have 30 like
recurring.
Yeah. So
listeners?
We're,
wow.
Yeah. To our 30 listeners. Thank you for showing up every single time.
And that's why we came back, because this month as accountants is like not fun. And we're like, you know what? We need to give podcasting another shot because.
Yes. Because we want.
That's why we don't like it.
Yeah. We want a way out. So maybe one day this can be our full-time job, which would be amazing. But anyway, so today we're doing hometown.
Yeah.
So we've got, I guess the TV show is based, or the TV show we're going to do is based here in, I guess, technically Brentwood, Tennessee, and we live in Nashville. And then I'm from Louisiana, so I've got a Louisiana story. And then Sam, you're like from Texas and Chicago a little bit.
Yeah, I would say I'm from Chicago. I wouldn't ever really say that I'm from Texas. I lived in Texas for a while.
Yes.
And I really tried to find a Chicago story, and there just was not one that I wanted to do, which I couldn't believe that I couldn't find one, because so much happens in Chicago.
A lot happens in Chicago.
But I'm excited about this Texas one. It's called Tom Brown's Body. It's really good.
Yeah, it's a good one. It's a good one. Yeah, so we've got our TV show, our documentary, I guess, is The Way Down. So that's like a docu-series?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So that happened in Brentwood. And then I'm doing Gone South, which happened in South Louisiana. And then you've got Texas. I mean, you've got Tom Brown's Body, which happened where? Like outside of Dallas?
Canadian, Texas. So it's like the panhandle, like the top thing that sticks up.
Okay, okay. Yeah. And then I try to save things to talk to Sam about, so we don't talk about everything before this point. But I was going to say some shows that I am watching is I started Entourage, which I think you said you do watch that. No. You have? You have never watched it? Okay.
No.
I thought you might have watched it, but the reason why I bring it up is because one of our recent episodes we did was Clickbait, which had Adrian
Grenier.
Whatever. Yeah, and he's in Entourage, so that's been like a good, like, it's kind of just happy, silly show
yeah.
that I've been watching. And then we Cheer, the season two of Cheer is back on. So did you start that?
I did.
I
mean, this season is very different. There's so much happening this season.
I know.
But it takes me back to my competitive dance days because, like, we went to nationals and it was, like, the countdown to nationals. And, I mean, obviously it was not as, like, physical as, like, this year is. But, yeah, like, the competition side of it. This season's been interesting.
It's heavy. Me neither. I've only, like, watched a little bit of the first episode or whatever. But it's definitely on a heavier note. It's not as, like, the last one, I just remember they were also like giddy and happy. So some things have happened there, but I did watch that. And then I also, Sam and I kind of talked about this off the podcast, but Righteous Gemstones, which I don't know if you had started that yet, but that's also like a, we've been in a mood for like happy, funny TV. So yeah, Entourage and Righteous Gemstones have been like our happy, funny. So if you don't want to do our recommendations of dark crime, those are some like happy ones that you can do, but that's probably, you wouldn't come here for that. So you might not even take those recommendations, but
yeah, I've been watching
two things,
Cheer. And I think I'll save this conversation for our next episode, but Dope Sick. I finished not too long ago, which is really good, although it's not a happy-go-lucky type of show.
But it goes with our next episode, so that's good.
And then I also started, which you recommended to me, Marcella.
Marcella is so good.
Yeah, so I'm not very far into it, but yeah.
Marcella is so good. So I'm like a big fan of like UK TV, and that is like a great, I could go, I have like a full list of UK TV that I could recommend. So maybe we'll save that for another day. Maybe we can do like a UK based.
Yeah. And abroad.
They have some good stuff, but we digress. So, okay. We'll start with The Way Down, which we want to take a field trip out to The Way Down. So that, okay. Backstory. Cause you're probably like, if you've never heard of that, you're like, what the heck is The Way Down? So it was a church. It's a church in Brentwood. And I don't remember the lady's name. It's a weird
Gwen
name.
Shamblin.
Yeah. Okay. I remember it was like a strange name. So she started a church that somehow like incorporated weight loss.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
Weight
cause
loss
like The Way Down,
treatments.
It's like way is spelled like W-E-I-G-H. Like it's like play on words. And it was like, they like brainwashed people into like losing weight and like being on this like health journey as part of their preaching. Like, I don't know. It's weird
how they kind of made it all work, but it's basically, I mean, it was like a massive church that this woman, Gwen, was the pastor of, but she also did like losing weight classes. And I actually know someone who's from Brentwood who remembers like the kids in that church. She remembers like seeing them at school, and like they could only eat within, the whole thing was like you could only eat when you were like hungry, and the whole thing was like you didn't you weren't worried about eating or like anything like that because you were worried about like serving God. And like, so that's kind of how I think they made it play. It was like God will tell you when you're hungry, and then all the other time that you would spend like, I don't know, like, I guess overeating, you're spending with God instead. So,
and like, it's like selfish for you to like give in to your like cravings and stuff. And
Exactly. And so, I remember her telling me that she had like kids that she remembers seeing like doing this. Yeah, which is crazy. But anyway, so she, I forgot how she kind of got started. But she, I don't know how she even, she wrote a book maybe or something.
I mean, The Way Down, I think, is like the title of her book.
Okay.
Also
okay.
The title of
but
the
her, yeah.
documentary.
But basically, I mean, it was like a cult. So it was like just this huge money driven like business. I don't know. But a lot of people, they also had like, which I guess I feel like this kind of happens in cults, but like there's a very power driven. It almost led to like people, like their kid, like the way they raised their kids, like it was almost leading into like a physical abusive thing of like, this is how you have to treat your kids. And like the woman, it was like a very traditional way of looking at life. And like the woman had to stay home with the kids and they disciplined really hard. It just like things kind of got way out of hand, which I feel like always happens with cults. But yeah, it was I don't know. It's a crazy, crazy story. It's definitely like some, I mean, and if you live here in town, it's just insane to know like all of this happens like 30 minutes down the street.
Yeah. And there were, I don't know why the number 3 is sticking out in my head, but there were multiple like children deaths that they believe really came from like these people trying to uphold the values of this church and so yeah, it was like deadly and I mean the first like episode or so of the show I was like kind of laughing because like I mean honestly it's kind of funny, like she looks pretty like comical with like her hair
stuff, yes,
and it's
her
like oh it's kind of funny, and then it like gets dark very quickly and you're like oh my gosh. So
Yeah, it takes a dark turn, like but
20 minutes from us.
Yeah, but it's a good show. It's definitely interesting if you just want to be like mind blown by how it just grows so big. Oh, and okay, we're missing like a huge point. She dies in a plane crash. Yes, and her son-in-law dies and her husband and yeah, because there was some corruption. Like they started getting investigated by the, I don't know, was it like tax evasion or what was it that they were doing? I can't remember.
Yeah.
Some people think like they crashed the plane on purpose because I don't know, like the walls were closing in on them, but the church is still up. I think the daughter took it over.
Yeah. So keep an eye on our Instagram because we might take a field trip. Go see it in person.
We really want to go see it in person.
Yeah, we do. But there's a second season of the documentary because it leaves off like with the plane crash, because the documentary was filmed I don't know how much in advance of the plane crash, and then the plane crash happens and they're like, oh, we need to like follow this. So there's gonna be a part 2. I don't know when, but
yeah, it's a good story. It's crazy. But, okay, I don't know. I feel like we've rambled long enough on the way down.
Yeah, people are like, okay, get to the point.
Yeah, we got it. Okay, we'll move on to our podcast. So we've got Gone South and Tom Brown's Body. If you don't want any spoilers, I guess stop now. And if you do go listen to them, reminder, tell them we sent you and subscribe, follow, you know, whatever. And if you want to subscribe and follow us, please do. Okay, so I've got Gone South. This is a podcast by C13 Originals, and the host is Jed Lipinski. And Jed also, he produced The Pharmacist. I don't know, Sam, if you've seen that. It's on Netflix. It's like about the opioids addiction in New Orleans.
Okay.
Guy's son, I think he's a pharmacist, his son gets killed like in a a drug transaction of like he was addicted to opioids. And so the pharmacist, you know, tries to track down like, okay, how did this happen to my son? How did he get caught up in this? Well, the guy being a pharmacist starts to realize that like, oh my gosh, we're just like handing these out. So just this whole story on the rise of the opioid addiction in New Orleans, which I mean, it happens a lot of places, but New Orleans was a place that it really hit. So anyways, he also did that, which was really good. I really enjoyed that. I always like finding things that are based in Louisiana just because, mm-hmm. you know, it's just interesting. But this crime happened in 1987, and it happened in Mandeville, Louisiana. And in the podcast, the guy references like St. Tammany Parish, and Louisiana has parishes, which is like counties anywhere else. But he just kind of references it as St. Tammany because the stories he tells kind of like takes place in like Slidell, Covington, Mandeville, which are all these places that are north of New Orleans. And so you'll hear that referenced a lot throughout the podcast. And the victim in the story was Margaret Kuhn. So the way the podcast like starts off is it tells this like crazy story of like this unrelated crime, but it's trying to set the scene of like everybody would escape New Orleans and go to St. Tammany Parish, like Mandeville, because it was supposed to be like the safe area, whereas New Orleans was crime ridden, whatever. So he's trying to like set the scene that like, okay, this place isn't as safe as everybody claimed it to be back in the 80s. So Margaret Kuhn, I just want to like do a little backstory on her, which I really was like, I think being like a woman and working in the corporate America, whatever, I thought it was, her story was really cool, especially back in the 80s. Yeah, so she was like,
go her, like with everything you're talking about. I was like, heck yeah.
Mm-hmm. She was a badass. So she was a former assistant DA. And at the time, I think she was the only female assistant DA, like in St. Tammany Parish. She specialized in sex crimes and crimes against children. So she was definitely out there doing like the good work to put the bad, you know, bad guys away. She graduated from LSU Law School, which was cool because I went to LSU, and she was like one of 10 girls in her law class at the time, which I thought was also a very, she started off as like a teacher and then was like, no, I want to go to law school. So she, you know, made her way to law school, and she faced like a lot of sexism like from her teachers because she was just like pretty blonde, and they're like, no, you should be in Hollywood. She's like, no, I want to be a lawyer. So I just thought she was a very cool character. I just thought, I mean, I guess she's not a character, but she's like, her story was just really cool to me. And there was said one story where she had like a case, like a trial, and she wore like a pantsuit. And the guy was like, I don't know if I'm gonna be able to listen. Like the judge was like, I don't know if I'm gonna be able to listen to your story because you're wearing a pantsuit. And like, she apparently just like ate him alive, and he ended up listening to a story, and then she won the case. So she just was, I don't know, she just kind of did it all. Like she was pretty, she, not that that really matters, but you know, back then in the 80s, had like the blonde hair, this pretty girl who was really smart and didn't take any shit from anybody. So moving on from Margaret, but they kind of go into like the night before she was murdered. And like, there's this weird golf story where apparently, so she lived in the neighborhood called Beauchin, which is in Mandeville. And it was supposed to be this like very like popular neighborhood that was a gated community with like a golf course. And there was like condos and houses and all this stuff. And the night before, apparently there was like this golf attack where like there was a what do you call them? The kids who work at like a golf place. Sorry, I need water.
Oh my gosh.
What are they called? Anyways, they're like, they get the golf carts together and they do all the things at the golf course. But they said that there was
a caddy.
Right. I guess that's a caddy. I don't know. Anyways, so they said like somebody was like throwing golf balls at them, like enough to where they could really be hurt. I don't know. It's just a weird story. But I guess it mattered because the next day, literally, Margaret was murdered. So in the early morning, she was found lying on the street with her dog, like guarding her body, which was really sad. She would go like on runs with her dog, like early morning. And so they assumed, you know, she was probably out for a run with her dog, and she was found, and they thought she had been like hit by a car, But then they realized she had been stabbed with like a 7-inch knife, I believe. But the freaking fire department, when they got there, because the dog, her dog would not like leave her body, they sprayed the dog with a fire extinguisher and like contaminated the whole crime scene, which was so dumb. And then like all, I mean, it was a big deal because that happened, and then like all the neighbors in the neighborhood were like around the crime scene, so they just weren't able to get a lot of evidence from the crime scene. But I feel like back then, like, they just didn't know, like, I don't know, you just, when you hear stories from like the 80s and 70s or whatever, and crime would happen, you're just like, oh my god, that was so stupid.
Yeah, they don't preserve things for DNA and all that.
Yeah. So, but it was just very strange because it like occurred on a busy street. There was no eyewitnesses. So it just was like odd that no one saw anything happen. So he, you know, sets the scene. Okay, St. Tammany Parish is supposed to be very safe. Everyone will leave New Orleans, come here. Margaret Kuhn is like this former assistant DA, and she gets murdered in her nice fancy neighborhood. So he kind of lays that out, and then he, like, the rest of the podcast, he goes into suspects. So there's, like, lots of episodes, and they have a lot – I mean, it's still it's not solved to this day. So they have lots of people. So the rest of the story, I'm just going to kind of go through, like, who he suspected or who they suspect and who was, like, interviewed, whatever. So they start off with, like, her ex-husband, Bernard, and he, I guess, had been like they were divorced, and he had been like mentally and verbally abusive to her, and he kind of had like a sketchy alibi, but I guess they like accepted. He apparently was in Lafayette, which is like 2 hours from New Orleans, like eating at a cafeteria, and was able to recite like what they had for food in the cafeteria that day. So apparently they took that as an alibi. But he, I think, was very sad and, like, upset by what happened. So I think they ultimately just, like, didn't think he did it. And there just wasn't enough, like, they couldn't tie him to anything. So he was interviewed, but then later, like, not, like, I don't know what the word is, but not a suspect anymore. So then they interview her boyfriend at the time. His name was Jay Fagan. He was actually with her the night before. His alibi was sketchy too. Like, he says he was with his estranged wife, and she says he was with him. So that was kind of weird. They also interviewed his estranged wife too, like thinking like maybe she had something to do with it, but they really just didn't have enough evidence. They also like questioned the boyfriend about Margaret's sexuality, which I'll kind of talk about later, but they had had an interview with Jay like 2 years after the crime. So they had just learned a little bit more about Margaret. And so that was something they had brought up. But again, we'll come back to that point later. So they moved on from the people like closest in her, you know, like ex-husband, boyfriend. So they were like, okay, what about people she had prosecuted? So they were like, okay, maybe like revenge motive, whatever. So there was this guy named Charles Moulet. And he was a cop from Slidell, and he specialized in undercover like crime. He was in charge of being undercover to like solve crime, whatever. And he was in charge of sexual offenses. Well, in 1985, he was charged with sexually abusing 4 girls. He was pretending to like counsel. And again, they kind of go into this whole thing of like St. Tammany Parish is supposed to be safe and all these things. And like, a cop is abusing girls. And so right before he was set to go to trial and she was going to prosecute him, he disappeared. And this was in 1985. And then he was still missing when she was murdered. So they were like, okay, did he do it? But then they were like, why would he come? Like, he's been hiding for 2 years. Like, why would he come out of hiding to come kill her and then go back? Like, why would he risk getting caught? So they eventually found him living in Florida. They didn't know like where he was the night of the murder, but again, there was like no evidence to tie him to it. So he was scratched off the list. They, another suspect was a stalker that they interviewed. His name was Greg Rodriguez. How do I say
Rodriguez?
Why? I feel like I cannot speak today, so forgive me. Anyways, he was interviewed, but again, no physical evidence, and he had a lot of like mental health issues and delusions, and so they're like, okay, this guy's wacky. Like, I think he's just like talking just to talk. And so for a long time, they just couldn't find anybody. Eventually, the FBI did like a criminal profile. And I really find these like so interesting, and I think they're like so important. I don't know. I just think they can like answer so many questions. But they thought that it was a woman who was out for revenge. There was another profile done by the dad, Margaret's dad. And this profiler found, I think it was like an ex-FBI person who did it, but this person found that they thought the attack was personal, that they, like, the suspect, like, found, like, they were, well, what am I trying to say? Like, they were betrayed, so, like, they were coming after her because they felt betrayed. They thought she was a white female, resided in the area, and knew the victim, like, casually. So that was kind of, like, what that person found, which was pretty similar to what the FBI found. They were also familiar with that victim's habits. So like they would have known she was out running with her dog. And so at the same time, like that profile was put together, there was another suspect that the dad and his, he hired like a lawyer, I think, who did like divorce law, but I guess just she was interested in the case and was going to help him out. So she thought that this other, that she had thought there was someone else that could have done it that fit this profile. And it was a neighbor. Her name was Judy Edwards. And she had lived like across the street from Margaret and wanted to write a book on Margaret, which they thought was kind of strange because she like got way too invested in the case. Like it was almost like, you know, like when a killer, like they want to stay close to the case. So that's kind of what they were thinking she was doing. But she was married to a local judge. And Margaret didn't like them, like she hated them because I think the judge would, I think he just was had said some rude things to her. I don't know. There was something between them. Well, Judy was like started jogging with Margaret and it just got really creepy. Like she just almost became obsessed with Margaret and like things she was doing. And she thought her husband and Margaret were having an affair, but everybody was like, no, like Margaret hates her husband. Like she doesn't like either of y'all. And so, but what was weird was like Judy got access to like all the evidence because her husband was a judge. And so it just was weird because it was like, she was so, I don't know. And then also one of the friends who like of Margaret's who I think took her dog, said that when Judy had come over to like talk about all this like stuff, cause she was trying to write the book, the dog just like sat there and stared at Judy. And she just found that like really weird. But apparently the cops had like interviewed Judy and just like dismissed it. And, they also just didn't think that this lawyer was very credible because they were like, you're a divorce lawyer. Like you don't know anything about crime, whatever. So they, I don't know. She thought it was a very good lead, but the cops did not. So kind of going back to like Margaret's like, sexual life or whatever, which I don't know. I struggle with this sometimes because I'm like, okay, is this just the way? I don't know. Sometimes I just was kind of like, they were like, oh, she had this double life. But I guess back in the 80s, things were just like different, you know? So, but apparently she hung out at like a lesbian bar in New Orleans called Charlene's. And that's like what her dog's name was. But everybody in her life said that she kept like a lot of things very secret. So they just didn't, there was like some people in her life who knew that side of her. And then a lot of people in her life who didn't. So they said she had this like double life. But people felt like the police didn't explore this side like very much because I guess, you know, back in the 80s, it was different. They wanted to like maybe respect her privacy or maybe they didn't feel comfortable like, I don't know, who knows what, why they didn't do that. But there was like a lot of I guess, speculation that it could have been like an ex-lover, like an ex-girlfriend. Some people even said that it could have been like a suicidal crime, that like she was so torn with her double life that she just like didn't want to do it anymore. But I don't think that was
really.
It doesn't
sound like her to me. No. Like she's so like upfront and like, I don't know. I didn't imagine that.
Mm-mm. Me neither. So finally, the last suspect. I like condensed like a lot of information. It's the podcast is good, but there's literally like a story for each suspect, which is great if you're just like driving or just need something in the background. But when you're trying to do like a quick like review,
synopsis.
Yes, I told Sam I literally felt like I did a book report. But finally, the last suspect was Patricia Curry. And this woman was crazy.
Crazy.
Absolutely crazy. So her most recent crime, she came into her lawyer's office and like threatened to kill him.
Oh my God, phone call, they had like the phone call and he was like, I have a client. She has a gun pointed at me. And he was just like so calm. And he's like, Miss Curry, how old are you? Like, oh my God, I can't imagine.
And also he was her lawyer because she wasn't paying her like HOA fees. And like, it was this whole thing. It was so weird. Patricia Curry, very strange. But her daughter believes that her mom killed Margaret, and like her poor daughter, like, Patricia Curry was like abusive to her daughter and just like had a lot of like, just did not get along with a lot of people. But Margaret was killed right across from Patricia's house, and so there was a couple of rumors like that. Patricia, so the first kind of like speculation was that Patricia's ex-girlfriend I guess mistakenly killed her, thinking it was like Patricia's new girlfriend. So that was like one thing, because they kind of looked alike, but that wasn't that they interviewed the ex-girlfriend, they were like, no, I don't think she was involved. And also it was so sad because the two detectives or a cop or whatever were like driving up to North Louisiana to interview the ex-girlfriend, and they ran a red light. Do you remember that story? They ran a red light and hit a car and killed somebody in the car.
Yes.
And then one of the detective ended up dying from his injuries from the car wreck. And he was a detective who like kept everything in his head, like all the notes. So literally all the notes from this case were in his head, and he died. Yeah. So I thought that was just a crazy story. And who they killed ended up being the ex-girlfriend's like neighbor. So it was just this insane story.
Yeah.
But so there was a rumor, or I guess, I don't know. That Patricia hired a hitman to kill Margaret because she was like mad at Margaret. They could never really come up with a reason like why she would be mad at Margaret, but like Patricia was mad at everybody all the time. Just like had a lot of issues with a lot of people. They didn't know if like maybe they had been like ex-lovers. They didn't know like if they had gotten in a fight. They just didn't know like what the reason was. But apparently like that night Patricia had dinner in Baton Rouge, was like an hour from New Orleans, and so she like made sure to have an alibi, like she made sure to get a receipt, and like her girlfriend at the time just like explained her like actions that night and just said it was super strange, and like she made sure like that she was like, hey, you have to leave and you need to come meet me and you need to bring the phone, and like she had all these things. So that's basically kind of where they leave it off. And like even Jed, I think how you pronounce his name, I can't remember his name. Jed. He basically at the end of the podcast is like, I think Patricia did it. So yeah, I mean, it kind of just leaves it open-ended, but it's a good, I mean, if me being from Louisiana and like living here in Nashville, I really love the story because it kind of like brought me home of like the Cajun accents, and just like, it just was so familiar to me. So I loved it. So like, if you're not, you know, if you're from Louisiana and you're not residing there, it's like a great podcast because it just kind of brought me home, even though it's like not a good story, but, because someone dies, but, it's definitely interesting, and he definitely does like a good storytelling. Like, I mean, he's got a story for every single suspect, but it is like a long podcast. So
yeah, but it like kept my attention. Like, yeah. I mean, someone who's not from Louisiana, who doesn't have like that kind of connection to mm-hmm. it, just because it's, you know, a place that you know or have heard of. And mm-hmm. I still thought it was really interesting. It's a crazy story, and like the people mm-hmm. involved are wild. So
yeah. And also I forgot to mention my husband's aunt lives in Mandeville, and I think she might even live in Boshen or near Boshen. And I remember her talking about like some of the things, like disagreeing with what some of the things he said.
Really?
And I need to talk to her and ask her just like her opinion on it.
Yeah.
And like just some things where they were like, oh, he got it wrong. Like this mm-hmm. is, it's not like that. It's like this or whatever. But I need to ask her. But yeah, so I mean, it definitely hits very close to home for me, just having family literally living there and going to school where she went to school, and just being familiar with the area. But it's a good story, even, you know, like Sam said, if you're not from Louisiana or anything like that. But yeah, he does a good job, and I loved The Pharmacist was a really great story too. So A plus to
The Pharmacist.
Yeah so, watch it. Yeah,
it's a show. Okay.
Yeah but Jed, he does a good job. So
he does.
Oh my God, I'm like lightheaded. That was a lot of talking.
Well, now you can just rest and listen. I'll talk about Tom Brown's body. So Canadian, Texas, where this takes place, is not really near where I lived. I lived like a little bit north of Dallas.
Okay.
And Canadian is like way north. But Tom Brown's body was produced by Texas Monthly in 2020, and the host is Skip Hollandsworth, and I love his voice. Like, if
really?
You were to like ask me or ask anyone, I think, like, what do you imagine a Texas man sounds like? It to me, mm-hmm. it's like him. Mm-hmm. So I really like his voice and like storytelling. So, I mean, this is kind of like yours in like where it leaves. It's like not like fully wrapped up. Like,
yeah,
there's,
it's pretty open-ended.
Yeah, like there's, you know, an idea and like a suspicion, but they don't really know. So Tom Brown was a high schooler in Canadian, Texas, and he was a pretty popular kid. He had been on the football team and was class president. He was just a good kid. He was well-liked. Like, they interviewed his classmates and his friends, and they said, you know, he just made everyone laugh, and everyone really liked him, and he seemed like a pretty normal kid. And so in 2016, the night before Thanksgiving, he was out driving with some of his friends. And I mean, that was something they did pretty often. And there was even like a route that they called Tom's Loop that mm-hmm. they would drive.
And he's from like it's a small town.
Yeah,
he's
Canadian
from, like,
is a small town.
Yeah, so I grew up in a very small town, and like we would literally like go to the Sonic. Like, I mean, so there's just not much to do, you know? So like them having like a drive, like it makes sense, you know?
Yes, like that is just what there is to do.
You to do in the small
town. Sit in a parking lot, and then sometimes
I said Toms.
You drive around.
Yeah. I said small towns. I mean small towns.
Small towns. So he had been driving with a couple of his friends, like kind of normal. And it was the night before Thanksgiving, and he had told, you know, one of his friends, like, oh, we'll meet up tomorrow. And then they kind of took off, like went their separate ways, but Tom never came home. So he was like being a good kid. He had like his midnight curfew, and he would almost always be home at midnight. And if he wasn't, he would text his parents and say like, hey, I'm getting something to eat, or like, I'm going to be a little bit late. But he, you know, they didn't hear from him, and he didn't show up. So it was his mom, you know, who really kind of started searching for him. And so the next day, his car was found abandoned near a water plant, kind of like on the outside of town. And there were shoe prints like right outside the car door, like someone had stepped out of the car. And there was like a little bit of dried blood on the inside of the car door, but like not any not in an amount that seemed like there was like a serious injury or anything.
Okay, yeah, like to lead to like a major crime scene or something.
Yeah.
Like the crime had taken place there or something.
Yeah, they said like it could have been like a paper cut or something.
Yeah.
And there was a shell casing on the floorboard of his car, but like there was no other evidence in the car or outside of the car that looked like there was a gunshot. And I mean, like in Texas, like people have guns. Like, I mean, it's like, it's not that unusual
to find something like that. Yeah.
And so they were looking at security footage from the evening, and they saw his car was being driven around in like the really early morning of Thanksgiving, and it stopped at the water plant, but like the video doesn't show anyone getting out of the car. They just show it stopping. So the Canadian Texas sheriff was named Nathan Lewis, and he took the case, and he was like, this was my first like missing persons case. Like, this type of stuff doesn't happen in our town. So he was inexperienced, but he first interviewed Tom's mom. Her name is Penny, and I don't like her. Well, I don't know if I should say I don't like her, but like the way she like responded to things was kind of weird to me.
Because and there's like other speculation around her too, but I'll let you. Yeah. I'm curious to see kind of like what you think on that. But yeah.
Yeah. So first she was like, oh, maybe he committed suicide because my dad, so Penny's dad, also committed suicide, and it like ran in the family, like the mental health struggles.
Mm-hmm.
And then within like the same conversation, she says, oh, well, I bet actually he ran off to a wrestling school because he always said he was going to get out of here and go wrestle. And then she's like, well, no, actually, maybe he's just like in hiding and he'll like come out. It's like, how do you have like all of these theories like right off? I don't know. And like the way she was talking, she just didn't seem upset. And like, I know like in Crime Junkie, they're like, you know, you never know how you're going to react to this type of news.
People grieve differently. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I understand that, but it just seemed a little bit odd to me. So Sheriff Lewis interviews her, and then he goes and interviews, Tom's ex-girlfriend, like recently within the month, ex-girlfriend, which is kind of like one of the things where they're like, where was Tom's mind? Because he had broken off his relationship with his girlfriend. Her name was Sage. And he also quit the football team like the month before. So Sheriff Lewis interviews Sage. And I mean, the big thing that comes out of their conversation is she says that Tom had just confided in her that he was wearing like adult diapers, like he had like a weird fetish, I guess. And so Sheriff Lewis went back to Penny and said, hey, did you know about this? Like, Sage just told me about this. And Penny like flips out. She gets pissed off, and she doesn't like that Sheriff Lewis is like kind of hinting at, she thinks that he's kind of spinning this as like there's something wrong with Tom and like he's a weirdo or whatever, and she doesn't like that.
Which it does suck though, because it's like when stuff happens, like when somebody dies, like they have to pull up and like
dig, you know, they have through to, their like, past.
And yeah, and so it's like sometimes things come up that, you know, it could be totally unrelated, and it's just hard.
Yeah, I totally get her being defensive and being like, don't take this one thing about my son. Like, we all have, like, weird things about us. Like, we're all weird, and...
And that's kind of how I felt with Margaret, was, like, I felt like they had to... It was just, like, the way they had to, like, dig through her...
like, her sexuality, you know, like, and they brought that in.
Yeah, and it's, like, at the end of the day, that's, like, that should be nothing. But, like, I get why they had to, like... go down that road to see like who, I don't know, but yes, like I get it. It just sucks like when that stuff happens and they have to dig up the dirt and
so that understandably makes her mad, and she turns around and hires a private investigator, and his name is Philip Klein, and he is like this hot shot. He helped find, was it Olivia Newton-John's boyfriend that like
he did
ran
something
off and vanished, like some like D-list celebrity boyfriend like went missing, and he found him. And he's like, I don't like him either. So I don't like Penny. I don't like him. And
I didn't like the cop either, too.
Sheriff Lewis.
Yeah. I didn't like him either. So there's a lot of people in the story who probably are just going to get under your skin. But, you know.
Yeah. And he was just very full of himself. And like, he was like, oh, yeah, I found this person, this person. And like, I mean, yes, if you're trying to like prove your credentials and like, you know what you're talking about, like you're going to, I guess, say like what you've done in the past. But I don't know. He was just
very, cocky.
Yes. Yes. So he comes in and he really he's like grilling Tom's friends. But they really, I mean, their stories check out. They don't really know anything.
Mm-hmm.
But the next kind of break in the case is they find Tom's backpack and it was sitting like perfectly upright. I think it was not far from, his truck, his car.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then after the backpack, Klein, got a call from a girl who had overheard that Tom's body was on the same road as the backpack. So they put together a search and they don't find Tom's body, but they find his phone and it's in like pristine condition. And there had been snow or not snow, but rain. And like, there's no way that the phone had been sitting there like,
the entire time.
So he was like, this had to have been planted. And the only people that knew where the search was going to be conducted was law enforcement. So now Klein is looking at Sheriff Lewis, which he didn't like him. They didn't like each other to begin with.
Yeah, they didn't.
Because Sheriff Lewis was kind of offended that like someone else was coming in to like do his job. And Klein didn't like Lewis because he thought he wasn't doing a good job and he was suspicious. And so he thought Lewis had something to do with the foam that was planted. But the other thing that like tied to the phone was that Penny, Tom's mom, had asked Tom's friend's mom what the passcode to Tom's phone was after he had gone missing. So they're like, okay, if Penny had his phone last and then it shows up, like, was she the one who planted it? And now maybe she's somehow in like colluding with the law enforcement. So it's all just very weird. The one thing that they found on his phone was that the night that he went missing, he searched for the suicide hotline. And it didn't.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Yeah. It didn't look like he made a call to them, but he did search it. So another kind of theory that Klein had and why he didn't like, Lewis was that there were rumors that Tom and Sheriff Lewis were in like a gay relationship, and someone threw out that he had put Nathan Lewis had put Tom's body through a wood chipper, which I mean that's dramatic.
And
I mean I don't think there's anything to that. It's just one of those things
rumors.
That gets like blown up. But I mean, there was a little bit more to maybe Tom's sexuality again, like Margaret's, that they, and I mean, there wasn't really evidence, but him like breaking up with his girlfriend and like, I don't know. And so they ended up doing a polygraph test on Penny, the PI Klein, and the sheriff, Nathan Lewis. And Penny's, like for Penny and Nathan Lewis, they said like maybe they failed, more so like it was inconclusive, and Klein definitely passed, which I don't dislike Klein because I think he had anything to do with it. I just think he's like very cocky and like I think
into himself.
Yeah, and he's like throwing out theories like
not on
a whim, but I don't know. I don't know that I feel like I think he just wants to be the one who solves it, so he's like putting something out there so people believe him. So over 2 years pass, and really it's just like speculation. All they have the car, the backpack and the phone. So then, in January of 2019, they find his skull, and it was 12 miles from his phone. And, a guy thought it was what did he think it was? But he saw it like kind of in like the brush, mm-hmm. A police officer, and he realized it was a skull. So they did an autopsy and it was inconclusive on the manner of death. So they don't really know how he died.
Cause they still don't have his body, right?
Right, right. All they have is his skull. And, so kind of like that whole year goes by and they really don't know. They only have these pieces of evidence. So then in November of 2019, Sheriff Nathan Lewis was like basically forced to resign, because all of the rumors surrounding him and kind of the fact that he wasn't able to solve this case was really like, what do I want to say? Like, he was forced to resign to like keep up appearances of the sheriff's department. Like, they were under such
to show like they were actually doing something, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. And they weren't like covering for their officer. Mm-hmm. So he resigned, and the podcast ends with Klein's like final theory was that Tom drove to their high school parking lot the night before Thanksgiving. And at least one person came up behind him, shot him in the head, disposed of his body, and then cleaned out the car and then like drove it and dropped it like at the water plant. But Skip Hollinsworth says that like every time he tells this theory, he adds new details or like changes things. And so you can tell that Skip is kind of like skeptical too, because he's like, okay, every time he's tells me this, like something is different, which I mean, like as time goes on, like things can be added or subtracted to a theory based on like what they know.
And it's gonna, things are gonna evolve, you know, like once
So I mean, kind of the last theory that Klein gives out is that like some kids were messing around and didn't realize like the gun was loaded, and they like put it up to Tom's head and like shot it and like didn't realize there was actually going to be a shot, and so like killed him on accident. And the kid's parents kind of covered it up with the help from the law enforcement, so he thinks it's kind of like a combination of like the kids and parents and law enforcement, which were kind of like all theories to begin with. And so they think it was covered up. So, I mean, that's kind of where it ends too. And it's a little
bit, I don't like any of his theories. I just don't ever think things are like that random. Do you know what I mean? Like a killing is never going to be like for it to be random, it's like, is very rare. So I'm always like, it's gotta be somebody like close. Like,
yeah. And I feel like if law enforcement was really involved, like they would cover it up better, like to leave his car not too far and then to leave his phone right there. And like, I don't know. I don't imagine a kid doing it. And I don't know. I don't like the theories either, but I don't have like my own. Like I don't know what could have happened because.
Yeah. And I don't think it was a suicide, because if it's a suicide, like they usually always find like the body, you know, like you can't,
and,
like
the
like,
skull would not be detached from the body and like his car. Like, why would he like park his car and walk somewhere to do it? And you know, his friend had said that they had made plans for the next day to get mm-hmm. together, and typically you don't make plans for the future when mm-hmm. you're planning mm-hmm. something like that.
I definitely think it's got to be like somebody close, like whether it's the mom or I don't know what the mom's motive would be. The only one I feel like that might have a true, like a real motive would be the sheriff, like if they were in a relationship and he didn't want that to get out. But I don't know. It sucks because they're just, there's not much. But I did see there was a new episode.
So I did listen to the new episode, and there wasn't anything new. I think I made a note on the new episode, but it didn't give any additional information that was.
Yeah, it sucks like that this kid just like went missing.
I know.
And it bothers me too that they can't find the body.
I know. And it, like, I don't know. I get so caught up with like his, because if the truck, if he was like killed in his car, how was it so clean? And like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's weird.
It's a weird case.
Mm-hmm. It's very suspicious.
Yes.
And I think, how many episodes is it? I don't think it's quite as long.
Yeah, I don't think it's as many as they've gone south.
I don't think
it was only a handful, but it's, it's definitely one of those cases that if you like the ones that have an ending, this one does not have an ending at all.
This one keeps you wondering. After I listen to it, I continue to think about it, and I'm like, what? What happened? So.
Yeah. Sorry, I keep yawning.
It's okay.
More caffeine. The weather here in Nashville is not good.
We are recording over video because we were afraid to go too late into the evening because we might get snow. We just got snow.
Yeah, so I know. So we'll be doing this again tomorrow. But yeah, so those are two good shows that are definitely, I mean, yeah, they don't have like a resolution, but they're very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Tom Brown's body is, I heard, I was listening to My Favorite Murder and they were actually talking about it recently about how they had just listened to it. And I was like, how have y'all not heard that already? But they do have their own podcast, so they probably don't have as much time on their hands to listen to a bunch of different, like we do. But, So.
And speaking of My
Favorite
Murder.
Good shows.
I was at Trader Joe's, was it the other week? And there was a car in the parking lot and their license plate was SSDGM.
Oh, that's
and
funny.
I was like, it's gotta be. They have to be murderinos because what else can that be? So.
Yeah, exactly. Or it could just be random.
Yeah. That would be a
maybe not even. That would be a coincidence. That's it for our shows. Good content. One product recommendation that I had was this is so it's kind of nerdy, but Jake and I have been watching lots of movies. He's been watching movies and I sit on the couch and work because I'm not the biggest movie person, but he got a light for the TV where like behind it, you know, like you feel like you're in a movie theater, but it has a camera. So it watches like the TV and takes the colors and like puts those same colors behind the TV. So it's very cool. So if you're like, love to just be a couch potato and watch, whether it's crime TV shows or movies or, you know, series, like I know Sam and I watch lots of TV. Doesn't even have to be crime related. But yeah, it's really, I don't even know what it's called. We got it off Amazon, but.
Yeah, I was going to ask where you got it.
Amazon. It's really cool though. It's got, I like never would think of the camera and you think it's going to look weird that there's like something hanging off the TV, but it really doesn't.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you're into that experience, check that out. And then another thing that got recommended to me was a Sherlock Holmes game, which Sam and I don't know anything about it, but it seems to be something similar to Hunt a Killer, but apparently it's like harder, like much harder.
Oh, that's good.
So you and I need to try it out and see like how good our detective skills actually are.
Do you know how many people you need to play? Does it have to be a group?
I think it can be two.
Okay, good. Because we don't have friends.
Yeah. I think it's just two.
Okay.
So we can do that. Yeah, so we need to check that out and review it and see what we think and see how good our true crime detective skills are. I would hope that I wish that you could like get an education through podcasting and be like, I'm ready to be a detective.
Yeah, I've done my hours of listening.
Exactly. Exactly. So yeah, that's something that Sam and I are going to check out. So if you played it before, any of her 30 listeners, if you want to let us know, tell us about it.
Review to come, probably.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's all I've got for nothing. I don't have anything good. I just had a product.
I've been doing puzzles lately, which I kind of usually always have a puzzle going. I just got my COVID booster shot and I felt like I was dying this morning, but I'm better now. What else do I have? I didn't prepare things or, but
that's okay.
For tomorrow. I'll have one tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're going to do another episode tomorrow. We're trying to catch up because we've been out for, I guess we had our last one was our Christmas, our very red Christmas episode. So we took a little bit of a break, but you know what? It seems like a lot of podcasters are taking breaks. So we're just doing what like all the popular podcasters are doing.
I mean, you guys were taking a break from listening because if you were like off work or with your family and stuff, like you probably weren't sitting around listening to podcasts. So
exactly. So we know what we're doing here.
Yeah, that was strategic.
Yeah, exactly. So, okay, well, I think that's all I've got.
All right. Till tomorrow.
Yeah. Bye, Sam.
Bye, Ashton.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.